Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd on this glorious Easter morning. This is Reverend Bob McLavy welcoming you to our time together. And it is Easter. What a wonderful time of year. What a wonderful way to begin a week. What an incredible way to reflect on our lives and what our relationship with Jesus Christ truly means. Yes, it's Easter morning, and we're going to hear about what happened in Jerusalem on that Easter morning when they rolled away the stone. And as the disciples went to see Jesus, he was not there. It's a story that many people struggle to understand, to relate to. And of course, it's hard because there's nothing like it in history that has ever occurred since. And so it is a great story, a great reflection on the character that we continue to follow and worship, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. So this morning we're going to have the story out of the Gospel of John, and then I will do a message that I have entitled, I Have Seen the Lord. And then we have a wonderful song that's been prepared for us by Alan Vest entitled, Rise Again. All so appropriate for Easter morning. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we do thank you. We bow humbly before you, recognizing that it is through your grace that we are able to celebrate on this Easter morning. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us to become bold in our faith. Help us, Lord, to share our faith and our love with others. And we pray, Lord, that you will guide each of us. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Well, at last, the glorious morning for which we have been preparing is upon us. As we entered the Lenten season 40 days ago, it seemed that the time ahead was so long before we would gather as a people of God and sing, "Jesus Christ is risen today." But we are here. Today is the day. And once again, we are grateful. As I look out at those who will be gathering in our sanctuary here at church on a Easter Sunday morning, I know that I will be seeing warm and welcoming faces, and I'll be filled with joy that we can be together for this celebration. And as I now am recording this message for those who will be listening online, I know that all of you also will have this wonderful expression of love and anticipation as we celebrate this very holy of holidays. But as joyful and grateful and humbled as I am, there is also a bit of sadness that I feel this morning, and it's for those faces that I don't see and for those people who are not anxiously awaiting this holy holiday. Those faces of people throughout the world who are not gathering to celebrate Easter. Some are under threat of persecution, but yet others who just simply do not believe in a risen and living Christ. The faces of those who have no true joy or hope, those who put their faith in the idols of materialism or power or greed, and who believe that life is only a temporary thing which ends at death. Yes, there is a longing in my heart to be able to touch them with the love that Jesus has given to each of us. How wonderful it would be to see their eyes as they suddenly recognized that the love of Jesus is real, and it comes only from one source, and that is Christ himself. Wouldn't it be glorious, worthy of an Easter celebration, if people who had not experienced the love of Christ in their lives were to encounter any one of us and see the difference that Jesus can make? Because when I look at those people who truly have faith, I see joy and hope, especially as we gather to celebrate our faith in a risen Savior. It is Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. From Scripture, we know that the disciples themselves were having a faith problem. Yes, this wild ride that they had been on with Jesus had come to an end, or so they thought, and they were afraid for their futures. Some were suffering from guilt and remorse. Can you imagine how Peter was feeling on that Easter morning before he knew that Jesus had risen? He had denied knowing Jesus when his own skin was on the line, not once, but three times. This was Peter. Before Jesus came along, he was known as Simon. But Jesus gave him the name Peter, which comes from the Greek word Petra, which means rock. And Jesus had said to him, "On this rock I will build my church." Jesus had put that kind of faith and trust in him. But when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter said, "Not me. No, I'm not a disciple of this man. I don't know him." And now Jesus was dead, Peter thought. And surely the guilt and grief must have been overwhelming, combined with fear for what lay ahead. There was no joy or hope for Peter early that first Easter morning. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was lost and grieving deeply. From the cross, Jesus had entrusted the future care of his own mother to John. And Scripture tells us that the disciple whom Jesus loved had been at his side during the Last Supper. Jesus and John had a special relationship. And now, early on Easter morning, John was left to grieve for the loss of his special teacher and friend because he thought he was dead. He had stood at the foot of the cross, and he watched him die. And the future looked lonely, very, very lonely without Jesus. Who was going to teach him and heal others? And who was going to draw the large crowds of people who wanted to hear words of hope? John was struggling to find joy or hope. Jesus wasn't there. And there was also Mary Magdalene. Jesus had done something for her that no one else could ever do, and she could never forget. Tradition has it that Mary was one whose life was transformed by Jesus' love and compassion. Jesus had looked past the social boundaries of the time, and he saw the goodness of Mary Magdalene. He had given Mary joy and hope. But now he was dead, she thought, and all she could bring to the tomb where he lay was love and gratitude. She wanted to be near Jesus, even in death. Now it was custom in Palestine to visit the tomb of a loved one for 3 days after the body had been laid to rest. Jesus' friends could not come to the tomb on the Sabbath, which would be our Saturday, because to make the journey then would have violated Jewish law. And so it was on Sunday morning that Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She came very early. The Greek word that is used here for early is proi, which was the technical word for the last of the four vigils into which the night was divided. And so it was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. when Mary went to Jesus' tomb, bringing nothing but love and gratitude for the one who had treated her with love and respect. But when Mary arrived at the tomb, she was shocked. The tomb was open. In ancient times, a circular stone was used to close the entrance of a tomb. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that the authorities had actually sealed the tomb to make sure that no one would remove this stone. The authorities wanted no one messing with this particular site because of the circumstances surrounding Jesus' death. They were uneasy about all that had happened, and they were especially uneasy at the thought that Jesus had claimed to be the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. So they had sealed the tomb as an extra precaution. When Mary saw the stone had been rolled away, she couldn't understand what had happened. Had the authorities moved him? Had tomb robbers come in the night? Perhaps frightened by the scene, she ran back to the city to tell Peter and John what she had found. And then together, the three of them, Mary, Peter, and John, ran to the tomb. John, who most likely was younger, got there first, and he looked in, but remained at the entrance. But when Peter arrived, he didn't stop at the entrance. He just went in. And he was baffled because the tomb was empty. John then went inside as well, and he saw and believed. What he saw were the grave clothes that were left behind. They were not disheveled or disarranged. They were laying there still in their folds. The whole point of the description is that they didn't look like they had been taken off a body. It was as if the body of Jesus had simply left the grave clothes behind. And the sight suddenly penetrated into John's mind. Our scripture says he saw and believed. And so Peter and John went back into the city. But Mary Magdalene, the one who had come first to the tomb, stayed behind. Scripture says Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked. She replies, "They have taken my Lord away." Well, in that moment, Mary refers to Jesus as her Lord. And then perhaps the most significant part of this entire passage occurs. Mary mistakenly thinks a man outside the tomb is the gardener. And she says, "If you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And it is here, this poignant and dramatic scene outside the tomb, when Jesus says simply, "Mary." Now, isn't this an incredible scene? Mary is the first one to see the resurrected Lord. She had been transformed by Jesus' love and compassion, and now she is the first to see the resurrected Christ. Jesus says simply, "Mary," and she knows it's Jesus. Remember the passage earlier in John when Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd? He says the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and they know his voice. Well, Mary cries out, "Rabboni," which means rabbi or teacher. And Jesus says to her, "Go to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Do you catch the significance of these words? It was no longer just God the Father to Jesus. It is now also your Father and your God. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, as had been promised, and now all who believed in him shared the same relationship with God the Father as Jesus shared with God the Father. This story is captured in Scripture so that we might understand that this encounter is for us today as well. It is now our Father and our God because of Jesus' sacrifice on a cross. Without Jesus' intercession for us, we could never have gotten back to that right relationship with God. But just as he promised, he died so that we might live. And in his resurrection, we too share in that resurrection. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, has captured the truth of Jesus' death and resurrection in this beautiful and touching scene outside of the tomb, where the stone had been rolled away. The resurrected Jesus said simply, "Mary," to one who had been saved and transformed by his grace. She went back into the city at Jesus' direction. She went to tell the other disciples what Jesus had said. And friends, the words that she spoke are words that ring with glory today as we celebrate the resurrection of God's Messiah. Her words could not be more eloquent or endearing. Mary's words proclaim the truth of the resurrection, and they are words that give us reason for joy and hope. Her words were simple and true. She said, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." Because of God's unconditional love for us, he has given us the gift of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one day, we too will proclaim, "I have seen the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, friends, let us continue to worship on this glorious Easter morning as we listen to Alan Vest as he performs Rise Again, a song written by Dallas Holmes, today arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is Rise Again. Keep me in the ground.
and mark my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one. 'Cause I'll come again. Ain't no keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise.
Wow, what a beautiful song, and how appropriate for Easter morning. So friends, let us just spend Easter Sunday celebrating. How about that? Let's remember that glorious image from Scripture, where it says, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. Yes, even an ancient tomb with a heavy boulder in front could not contain a risen Jesus Christ. This was his mission. It was the fulfillment of God's promise of grace. Jesus was risen. Today, he is risen. And for that, we do indeed celebrate. Have a wonderful week ahead. And thank you for listening.